Welcome to the Peace Growth Here podcast. I'm your host, Yelena Theofilatos, with my Blooming Heart Hypnotherapy and Coaching. And this is a place for you if you're looking for business strategies, emotional wellness, advice, and stories from fellow ladies entrepreneurs. Hello again. Thank you so much for choosing to join me, whatever that time of the day to you. For you on the Peace Growth Here podcast, I'm your host, Yelena Theofilatos, and I'm a therapist. I specialize with working with anxiety specifically, but I honestly, in my practice, see people of all walks of life, whatever they're healing at the moment, not necessarily anxiety, but anxiety is my jam, which is all that I tell to a lot of people when I first meet them, my clients as well, that I can totally relate to you because I have been jamming with my anxiety for a long time. But I learned new things, and this is why we're here today, because I'm actually want to speak on the topic that is super, super close to my heart, and that is how self-understanding leads us to self-compassion instead of self-criticism, where a lot of us end up, not just those people who have anxiety, but a lot of times when we have struggles, we go that route. We end up criticizing ourselves and having all kinds of ideas what we should be doing, what we haven't done, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that of course just create an extra layer to our anguish than anything else. It doesn't really bring resolution, but get us stuck in the cycle. And there are reasons why we get stuck in that cycle, physiological reasons that are grounded in a way our nervous system operates and communicates with our rational brain, rational mind. I'm a little at loss with my words at this very moment because I'm realizing that brain is actually also part of the nervous system regulation mechanism. It's all, you know, one big system. But the way that our brain interacts with the peripheral nervous system, with all the nerves that collect the data from the outside and actually inside world, this is where we need to look into to realize, oh, I guess I see how my nervous system state actually can feed some of those self-critical thoughts, and how my self-critical thoughts can actually feel like an attack for my nervous system. And in its turn, those thoughts make our nervous system even more activated. And the more activated our nervous system gets, meaning the more it shifts in its survival kind of mode, the less we are capable of really engaging our rational mind to rein all of those thoughts in and stay even, meaning that we tumble down deeper into that self-criticism that is not really helping much. I'm not here to invite you not to honestly take an honest look into your behavior and say, okay, I shouldn't have done it, and I should be doing better next time. Regret is actually very healthy. It's just, do we dwell on it and do we use it as a weapon against ourselves? That's a very different question entirely. So today I'm going to give you an extrapolation on what I just said about how we can increase the state of anxiety and the state of self-criticism within us inadvertently because we don't understand the components that it's made of. And I'm a geek when it comes to this particular subject, because for me, as a someone, as I said, who had her struggles with anxiety and still have, the way I healed myself, so to say, is through self-understanding. Not even through therapy, even though I'm a therapist myself. From the very early age, maybe not so early, but like right about when I was 11 or 12, I was super interested in psychology. I just really wanted to understand myself first and foremost because I was, making those choices, doing things, and I was observing other people, and I was like, why the heck we are doing all of this? So this is where it all began. And I think ever since I've been using this self-understanding mentality of reading and reading literature about psychology as a way to heal myself. And mind you, there were times where I really needed outside perspective to help me. So I'm a big advocate of therapy. Not just because I'm a therapist myself, but it's also I realize the limitations of working with our ailments. Is that the word? From inside at all times. So, but starting with self-understanding is the key because you can take that self-understanding wherever you go. This is what I tell my clients. I cannot be there for you when anxiety hits. I really want to give you tools and understanding and awareness of how to work with it in that moment. And that all comes down to self-understanding and learning about yourself. And the biggest benefit of understanding yourself is that you become more self-compassionate. And it's such a beautiful healer, self-compassion. It's on the opposite side of the spectrum of self-criticism, and self-compassion is actually feels very regulated for our nervous system. If we're going to stay in talking about nervous system and in this language for today, and of course, this just feels really good and overall moves us along on our healing journey instead of getting us stuck in those like self-critical loops. So this is what we're going to be talking about. How can we use self-understanding when it comes to anxiety and self-criticism? I'm going to give you a very specific piece of information that you can apply to understand yourself better as a way to go forward towards a more self-compassionate engagement with stress, with how we are when we have anxiety. All in the name of our healing. And I'm going to leave you with a very simple tool that you can do at the very moment when anxiety hits. And I didn't create it. I am taking it from compassion focused therapy. Can you believe that? I mean, I can because compassion for me was such a central piece in my healing work on myself. That when I found out that there is a the compassion focused therapy that came out of the UK, I was like, "Tuh, where?" I mean, Buddhism. This is my spiritual practice. Knew about it all along. We have loving kindness meditation, which have been practiced for thousands and thousands of years, which is very much very similar. It's all about generating compassion to yourself and others. And they already knew what a big medicine it is, love. And of course, we all know that all we need is love and maybe some logic there too, but definitely some self-love and self-compassion. So before we get into actual that, piece of information that I already alluded to in the very beginning about how we can use our knowledge of what gets us stuck in a self-critical slash anxiety cycle to liberate ourselves from it. I want to do something that this is the second time I'm doing it. I'm going to dedicate the positive energy from this podcast. In the Buddhist tradition, that's something that we do when we open up our spiritual practice. Meaning, before you meditate, before you read, before you pray, whatever is that for you, your spiritual practice looks like, you set the motivation for it, you set the intention for it to ripple out into the world in a positive way. And from the standpoint of Mahayana Buddhism, and I'm not going to get into explaining it because I'm not a Buddhist teacher, I'm a practitioner. What we do in our practice in Mahayana Buddhism, we really have all other beings in mind. We are working on ourselves to liberate ourselves from suffering and bring lasting happiness into our lives, but ultimately, it's all for the sake of, again, ripple effect into the world. So, this is how I start my spiritual practice, and this is how I now decided that I should start pretty much every day and everything that I do in my business, because for me, it's one and the same thing, to be honest, at this point. So just bear with me. It's very quick, just four sentences. May the positive energy of this practice go towards achieving the following. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings have happiness and have causes for lasting true happiness. May all beings never be separated from joy that is beyond misery. May all beings dwell in equanimity, free from confusion, attachment, and aversion. And may this practice and everything that I do today contribute in this direction. And this is what I do when I, before I meditate. And that was really, again, I'm just noticing such a beautiful regulating effect. You can hear it in my voice even, right? The way it softens. How crucial it is to take those minute, 2 minutes of your time to bring yourself back to your center. And it doesn't have to sound like what I did. Of course, you have your own way to coming back to your center, whether you're spiritual or not. I'm just encouraging you to do that. That's a different kind of self-understanding. That's experiential understanding, not exactly the one that I'm going to be talking about in a moment, which is going to be very concepts-based. But when you are taking that moment to slow down and drop inside and reconnect with what really is meaningful, what it is driving you, it's just so freaking good. So let us move along to talk about self-understanding piece that I was just talking about before, and how it can help us to develop some self-compassion. What do we do when we get self-critical, an opposite of self-compassion? We look at something that we have done or haven't done, and we get into this kind of rumination over that mode. Oh, I should have done that. I could have done that. Why I'm not there yet? Let's say I have done a lot of that, comparing myself to other female entrepreneurs. I sometimes still do. Oh my goodness. And I'm like, oh, she's doing this wonderful thing and the things are working for her. What's wrong with me? My strategies, I'm not performing well. There's must be something wrong about me. You know, that cuts really deeply, that self-critic. And it can start from me just see looking at my post. How many of us have done that on Instagram? And seeing that, oh, I have only gotten that many likes, bummer. And then, of course, taking it very personal. At this point in age, this point in my life, I don't do that. Maybe sometimes, but very rarely. I really become very cognizant of that cycle in the very beginning and how what draining it is more than anything else. And that's the, of course, the downside of self-critic. I don't actually know any upsides, but this is your why to learn to understand yourself and how it all comes about to liberate yourself from it, because it's draining. It will suck you dry in terms of hope and energy. How many times we have found ourselves at a total freaking puddle mode, and because we got self-critical of ourselves, while we still have all of these beautiful things that we are so inspired by. Oh, we're just were an hour ago. And now we just, oh, you know, forget about all of my ideas. I'm giving up. I'm stepping away and getting really, really hopeless there. And this all can be avoided. And I'm a big proponent of how to catch, learning how to catch ourselves to do so. So let's see. And this is where my really deep self-understanding of my anxiety began, of how self-criticism is a vicious self-feeding cycle, just like anxiety is. First of all, let me just refresh your memory because some of you, if you heard my previous episodes, you know that I talk about it a lot. I also talk a lot about it on my Instagram channel. How Anxiety Comes to Be, and that's from the book by Dr. Jotsam Brewer, Unwinding Anxiety. If I could buy a copy of it for every human being, I think that's what I'm gonna do when I'm a millionaire. It talks about how there is a very special kind of interaction that our body and our brain get into that results in us getting stuck in anxiety. So let's first look at our brain. Our brain is afraid. I would probably should be more careful using that word. But let's say our brain is very uncomfortable with uncertainty because historically, evolutionary uncertainty can mean death. You know, if you are a cave person and you're looking at the cave and it's dark and you're like, is there a bear over there? And if you are not careful and you're like, there is no bear, let me just go in and be brave, you might already have been eaten and your genes are out of that gene pool. So that trait did not stick around for a reason. We need to be really aware of uncertainty and the darkness, whether it's an actual dark room in front of us or it's just the darkness in terms of what's happening in the future. Because by being aware, this is how we problem solve. This is how we make sure that we keep ourselves safe physically. Our brain really very much concerned with our physical safety more than anything else. And of course, there is now this additional layer, which is beautiful layer of our ability to think things through. However, it kind of backfires when it comes to our time in terms of how it ultimately can get us stuck in anxiety. And let me explain how. So this is a moment of, let's say, you are not sure what's going to happen with the launch that you're doing. You have put out all kinds of marketing messages and you have been promoting in Facebook groups. You are gathering some attention. And for a moment there, you feel like, okay, I feel like I've had my group of people that raise their hand and I think they're all going to be interested in participating in this course, for example. And then something begins to shift as the launch approaches. For whatever reason, some people drop away. Maybe your marketing campaign is not as successful as you thought. You are also potentially feel very drained with the whole process of it at all and kind of getting very tired. That has a really a role to play in all of this as well. And you start thinking about all of those, like, what ifs, you know, what if this happens? What if it doesn't work? What if, you know, more people say no? And what if that doesn't really like amount to anything? Oh my gosh, should I just give up? Like, you know, depending on how far you go to that rabbit hole, we can go very ballistic with our worst case scenarios. And what unfortunately can feed into that is our nervous system states. And this is how the brain and the body kind of locks into that cycle. Here you are thinking that uncomfortable and kind of a scary thought. Your body responds to that thought. It shifts into more of this activated state, flight and fight. This is where we are no longer interested in connection and like digestion and rest. We are like running. We are either running or fighting. Like it's a very activating state that a lot of us unfortunately live at all times. But in this particular case, it's prompted by a scary thought. And of course, this is what our nervous system is about, is to help us to survive. That is its main mission. And it received that scary thought, even though it's not a bear in the cave and it's not really anything real that is happening yet, it begins to shift to give us more energy to either fight, in this case, a thought, or run away. Because even though our threat is not the same as like a physical threat in a room, the mechanism that works with it, so to say, responds to it in our body is still very much the same as like thousands and thousands of years ago. And as our body begins to shift into this flight fight mode, which is this kind of energetic, activated, survival oriented mode, it influences the quality and content of our thoughts as well. Our thoughts, heated by this energy of activation, can get even more scary looking, can get a bit more dark. And as a result of that, of course, it can again shift our nervous system even further into the dysregulation. And as that it and as it shifts into dysregulation, our thoughts can get even darker. And they, it goes like this, like a cycle. They're feeding on each other to the point that we can get to a place of total, complete panic about something that hasn't happened yet. It can happen, maybe, possibly, but we don't know. But we might be at a place where we're so convinced that it's happening for sure, because our physiology has, quote unquote, taken over. Our fight and fight energy is much more powerful than our rational brain. If you haven't noticed yet, when we're stressed out, we don't really have as much access to our logical part. And that is just the way it is. Even though our logical and rational brain is a beautiful addition in terms of evolution to this whole apparatus, our body and what it has created as a way to mitigate the stressors is so much more powerful because it's so much more ancient. So when it comes to physiology versus mind, when we are in such a triggered state, physiology a lot of times wins. So we can be in such a intensely heightened mode that our rational brain, mind can kind of goes out of the window, and we actually believe all of those maybe probable but kind of outlandish scenarios. And even if they are really realistic, what's the point? Easier said than done, I know, to say about something like that, to dwell on them, right? If we are just gonna drive ourselves into the state of complete like that, we are not really capable of properly problem solving, taking care of what we're working with. So, but this is how we get stuck in that cycle. And before I knew of those two components of how our physiology plays such a huge role, and how our thoughts play a huge role, and how when we try to think our way out of anxiety, we a lot of times fail because our physiology is stronger in those regards. And that instead of going with trying to think our way out of it, we need to start with regulating our nervous system. I was so stuck so many times in my anxiety episodes, only when I learned, oh, okay, I guess it makes sense. My physiology is so much more ancient. My nervous system is all about survival, and it is trying to do its best at this moment. This is what it's know how to do. In a sense, our brain, with all of those thoughts, it's also doing its job just in terms of our survival. There is nothing wrong or bad with it all. I just really need to know how to approach it correctly from the right entry point. Because if I try to get into that cycle with thoughts, that fear that is underneath it all will not let me do it effectively. So I need to start with regulating my nervous system first and thinking later. That's been my unofficial tagline: regulate yourself first, regulate first, think later. So that's, for me, that's a piece of self-understanding there that I couldn't really get out from much else just by reading and learning about it. I probably could have gotten there myself eventually by meditating and just really being observant of what happens with me in the moments of my anxiety, but I really didn't have time. The time when I learned this particular piece of information was just out of grad school, I believe. And in my grad school, I could barely breathe, I could not really slow down to the point of really looking into under the hood of my system, like, what's up with that? What's going on? So when I found that book, which I highly recommend, again, I'll put it in the show notes, It really gave me the vocabulary for what I was going through and really made me realize that, okay, when anxiety next time creeps up, I need to slow the F down and just regulate my nervous system and then come back to thinking. That's what it all came down to. And also, I developed a good amount of self-compassion to myself and what my body and my brain were trying to do at that moment. They're just trying to survive and get themselves to safety. That's all. And unfortunately, the mechanism that they're working with is not necessarily flawed. It's just the way they interact with each other is sometimes problematic just because of the way they set up. And there's nothing we can do about it, really, except just working with it by being self-compassionate, knowing the components and being in developing that self-awareness in the moment. So when it comes to self-criticism, let's look at how we can get stuck in its cycle. And it's just the very same way we can get stuck in a cycle of anxiety. Self-criticism, just think about it. It is attacking ourselves. What does attack feel to our nervous system? It feels like a threat. So same thing, just like with anxiety. If we begin with those thoughts, ruminating over something we haven't done, should do, not there yet, and blah, 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 blah. Now our nervous system starts to pick up on that and starts to shift in that flight and fight response in response to the attack. Because nervous system is all about defense mechanism against dangers. So now it's again shifting in flight and fight. In this particular case, we are attacking ourselves and we want to either flee from ourselves or attack back. And if we do attack back, that just feeds those thoughts again. They get more intense and creative. And as they get more intense and creative in their self-criticism, that state within our body, that flight and fight state again increases. We get more activated, more uncomfortable, more tense. And it again feeds our thoughts, and here we are. We're stuck in this cycle of self-criticism, and if we spend there long enough, we might drop all the way down into total shutdown and dissociation, just a state of hopelessness and helplessness, which is where we drop down even a layer deeper into our nervous system states. Just a quick side note here. When it comes to categorizing the states of our nervous system, I go by polyvagal theory, which is the theory about the nervous system that its founder looked at the parasympathetic system and sympathetic system. And he specifically looked at parasympathetic system and saw that there is a some nuance there that had been omitted before, and that is part of parasympathetic nervous system is actually activated in times of danger when our body believes that there is no choice, no escape, and it creates that shuts down, dissociated kind of a state. And that was new at that time because we all trained, and you might know it that too, that parasympathetic system, it's all like regulation oriented. It's like rest and digest connection. It's as if, like, it's all in the name of our feeling good kind of state. But he found out that there is a nuance to it, as I said, and it's an important one because now knowing that there is that kind of a shutdown, dissociated state that has a physiological marker in a sense in our system allows us to help people with trauma, with depression, because those are the
conditions that a lot of time cause people to drop all the way down into that state. And the way we come up from that state into regulated mode is different from the way we come up from flight and fight to regulated mode. So if everything that I said right now was just like a salad for you, please just stay tuned. Now I'm realizing that I should definitely record a poor living go theory kind of one-on-one episode because I'm obsessed with it. It definitely gave me, again, language and vocabulary to understand myself so much deeper, my anxiety, my stress, and help other people in such beautiful ways. So if we are self-criticizing ourselves enough, at some point we will get to that hollow kind of state of shut down and just numbness, and that's not helpful. But again, we shouldn't be self-critical about that too. And this is where again we go. I'm like, oh, I'm so unmotivated. What's wrong with me? We're just like kicking ourselves deeper and deeper in that hole. And the moment of truth is here is to get to realize, wait a minute. Slow down. This is what you're doing to yourself right now. Notice how there's this interaction between your physiological state and your thoughts. And that no wonder you might be feeling thinking self-critical thoughts because there's underlying dysregulation that you have just increased also. And no wonder those thoughts getting more and more intense because as your body shifts into that dysregulation more and more, the less capacity we have to engage with our rational mind to kind of rein it all back in and just get a little more even in our judgment. So if we just slow down and remind ourselves, okay, yet again, I need to regulate my nervous system first. I need to put my thinking aside. I know it's not easy, but we gotta make a firm intention and do some nervous system regulation tools. And then re-engage with our thinking again. It's gonna be so much more productive. It's so gonna be not necessarily maybe energizing, but definitely not draining. You will actually come up with a plan. You're much more likely to come up with a plan of action and not just another layer of self-criticism, which is, of course, not helpful. If you are more regulated, you have more energy, you have more hope, you have more resources to engage with life. And of course, this is where we want to be. And the way to get there, a lot of times, is through slowing down and applying those pieces of information just to be really aware of what's going on in that moment and understand yourself. And I promise to leave you with one tool, and I will. But as I was talking about regulate first, think later, regulate your nervous system first, get back into thinking later, I was like, oh, I have a perfect resource for it of my own. The nervous system regulation guidebook that I put out, it's free. It's called Strong and Steady. It's available to download on my website. Just mybloomingheart.com homepage. Just scroll down just a tiny little bit and you will see the sign out window for it. It has 15 techniques that you can do in the very moment when anxiety or self-criticism takes over that you can use to bring regulation your nervous system effectively and quickly so that you can get out of those cycles fast and get into actual proper thinking if you really need to, or just like take a breather, take a break, take some space, and then come back to it. So, really highly recommend just because, not just because by the virtue of signing up for that workbook, you will be part of my precious, my lovely community of people who get my newsletter, but I really truly believe in the efficiency and effectiveness of those methods. So, if you like, oh, nervous system regulation, where the heck do I start? This is a great start. It also comes with a bonus, like a gift that it's automatically sent out to you like in a day or two, I believe. And there is newsletter that comes along with it, as I said, which is all about helping you to set boundaries and learn proper time management tools to create a very healthy and sustainable self-care flow, because I believe that Freebies are great. Information is great, but what we a lot of times make less progress is when it comes to implementation. So this is why I added that newsletter to it, which was supposed to be part of the workbook itself, but then the workbook got too big. That will give you the tips to actually take those tools and start implementing them in real life in the way creating a new base line for your nervous system when you are more regulated at all times, when you are more resourceful, hence you're much more capable of pausing there for a moment when anxiety or self-criticism hits and slowing down and not believing everything that you think and actually moving to proper problem solving faster and quicker instead of getting into those quicksands of self-criticism and anxiety. Don't waste your time there if you don't have to. Regulate your nervous system first thing later. And lastly, to give you one right about now is the one that I said based upon compassion focused therapy. I believe they took it from Buddhism somehow. That must be their inspiration. I think a lot of their research is based upon, oh, it is inspired by Buddhism. So it's, of course, very close to my heart because I'm a Buddhist. So it goes like this. In the moment of stress or anxiety or just feeling meh, take a moment and maybe even put your hands on your heart, just give yourself a hug or just be there and take a breath. And acknowledge the fact that you are struggling, the fact that there is discomfort or pain, whether it's a physical, maybe emotional pain, psychological, maybe it's just boredom, even. Whatever that is, just acknowledge it. Then, total of three steps, and this is the second one, you realize, you just remind yourself about the uncomfortability. Discomfort is part of human existence. That's something that we all struggle with in huge variations. And you're not alone in what you're going through right now. It is a part of human existence, not for the better or worse. It's just a part of a human existence. And sometimes those times happen of stress and anxiety or maybe depression. And lastly, when you do acknowledge, when you realize that you're not alone in that, and that's part of human experience, you ask yourself, what do I need in this moment to help myself, to support myself, to nourish myself? And a lot of times, the answer is, I want to offer some kind words to myself, some words of positive affirmation. I want to offer myself a hug. I want to make myself a cup of tea, take a bath, whatever, available for you at that moment. What might be available for you at that moment is just a free deep breath. And that's okay. That's plenty. And that's your very practical tool for you to be compassionate to yourself and also have very regulating influence on your own nervous system. In this way, you will save your time and energy from getting sucked into those cycles and anxiety or self-criticism and just feel better because self-compassion, especially after you get through some resistance that sometimes comes for people, we're all aware of that. I definitely work with some people and myself in one-on-one sessions where people, when they try to do self-compassion, they come against like a wall inside of them. Definitely been there. Well, all I can do is keep gently introducing this practice in your life as well as self-understanding. If you feel like you need more help with that, of course, reach out to a therapist in your area or to me to get through those a little bit of a extra resistance around it, but just be ready for compassion to slowly but surely make your way into your life if you start making a deliberate effort to really
put it there by self-understanding, by learning about how it all comes to be, anxiety, self-criticism for everyone and for maybe you in particular. And I will cite some compassion-focused therapy resources in this episode's show notes because I know some of them were really actually enlightening to me and the book that I mentioned before. And if you keep doing what you're doing on this healing journey, I'm pretty confident you're going to get to seeing more and more signs of your healing. And I don't know what it's going to be like for you. Maybe the first sign of your healing will be you slowing down and doing the three-step practice. I'm going to also cite it. I'm going to put a link to it in a show note so you don't have to really remember it. And if you like this practice, please let me know. Reach out. Send me a DM on Instagram or send me an email. I will love to hear that if this was helpful. I really want to help thank one friend of mine, a new friend of mine on Instagram, a new friend of Instagram who whose handle I'm trying to look up right now on my phone, who told me, who gave me such a beautiful feedback once. She told me, like, your episodes are amazing, but could you please leave us with something practical and doable to do in the very end of it? I was like, oh, shoots, I thought I was doing it, but really, I was not. So her advice, and I can't find her name now, was really crucial. So this is why I'm encouraging you all. Feel free to reach out to me. Leave a rating if you feel moved to. Just most importantly, take care of yourself. And I'll see you in the next episode. Self-compassion, love, and lastly, in my new tradition that is very aligned with my spiritual practice, I just want to dedicate one more time the positive energy of this podcast that I hope it already is felt by you, definitely felt by me. Will ripple out into the world and create positive changes for many, many, many beings out there. Thank you so much for being here with me. Have a beautiful rest of your day. And if you like this episode, you can help me to spread the word about it. Feel free to leave a review and share about it with a friend. I really appreciate your support. Thank you.